Hello, and welcome to the Cox Automotive Sales Day call. My name is Michelle, and I will be your operator for today's conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and during the question-and-answer session, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Dara Hales. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining this month's Cox Automotive Sales Day conference call. Today, we have Charlie Chesbrough, Senior Economist for Cox Automotive, and Michelle Krebs, Executive Analyst for Auto Trader, with an economic update and analysis based on the latest sales results, followed by a Q&A session. Now, I'll turn the call over to Charlie Chesbrough.
All right. Well, thank you, and good morning to everybody. Well, it looks like March is certainly coming in like a lion. The sales numbers are looking quite strong. I think we're looking at sales that are going to exceed sort of what consensus estimates are at this point. It looks like the selling rate for the month is going to come in around 17 million, and that would put it on pace as to what we had been doing through the course of this year so far, certainly at the same level that we had done last month. March is always a little bit of a tricky month to try and forecast. It's the first big month of the year where we do a sizable amount of volume. And this year is a particularly interesting challenge because we have an extra selling day this year and we have an extra weekend. We had 5 weekends in March this year versus what we had last year. So we would expect sales to be up a little bit just sort of naturally given the extra selling days that we have. But clearly the market seems to be outperforming even that. And sales are looking very, very strong. And it appears that buyers are kind of shrugging off some of the more negative news that we've seen out there. If we look at the market as it stands right now, certainly economic conditions look very favorable. Interest rates are low. The stock market is high. Job creation and unemployment all remains very favorable. But relative to where we were at last year, the conditions are actually deteriorated a little bit. Gasoline prices are running about 10 to 15% higher than where we were in March of 2017. Interest rates are certainly higher. In fact, they've essentially doubled from the level they were at a year ago, which is making monthly payments just a little bit less affordable for many folks. And certainly we've seen tremendous volatility this month on Wall Street as traders are reacting to the president's trade policy changes, as well as concerns about inflation in the U.S. economy. We've seen tremendous volatility on Wall Street, but all of that was shrugged aside as we saw vehicle sales continue to sell at a very strong pace. And I think what we have to point to is tax reform. That seems to be the one contributing factor that we can see out there that would be having a very positive impact on vehicle sales. March is probably the first full month that folks are going to be getting those tax returns. And we know that there was some delay in withholdings. The new tax reform, which will go into effect in 2018, means that many taxpayers will be saving less this year to pay for those taxes. So there's a little bit more money in their pockets, and it appears that that's having some positive implications for the vehicle market as well. Just real quick on some of the bigger trends, when we look at segments, those trends are continuing. Cars are going to be down on a year-over-year basis. Crossovers and trucks, it looks like they had another very strong month. In particular, we can see that the Jeep brand, if we had to pick one winner out of the whole bunch, the Jeep brand really just blew it out in March, and we saw sales increase tremendously for the Compass and the Wrangler in particular. So all in all, a positive month for the industry. The sales pace still looks like a 17 million rate. Little change from where we had seen earlier parts of this year, but our expectation continues to be that we will see sales play slow through the course of the year, taking us to something more in the high 17 mark. Excuse me, the high 16 market by the time we finish 2018. And with that, I'll hand it over to Michelle for a few more comments.
Thank you, Charlie. We had fully expected to report higher year-over-year sales for each automaker, and that's pretty much what occurred. What was surprising is General Motors and Fiat Chrysler blew their forecasts out of the water, everybody's. And then each automaker did a little bit better than we expected, which is why sales are higher than we thought. And as has been the case all along, it's the strength that came from trucks and utility vehicles. On the GM side, their sales were up 16%, which was more than double that what even the optimists projected. Yes, fleet sales edged up some. Incentives were plentiful there, but GM had told us they were going to increase incentives a little bit. But, you know, I think if you look at the product line, GM's strength is coming from all those new vehicles that they have introduced in the last few years, mostly crossovers and sport utility vehicles. And as Charlie said at Chrysler, it's all about Jeep. Rising Jeep sales lift all of Fiat Chrysler. But the Chrysler Pacifica minivan also had an exceptional month, so that was sort of icing on the cake. Ford performed mostly as expected, with trucks and SUVs up. Of particular note, of course, is the Lincoln Navigator, which really is doing a tremendous job, especially at the price point it's at. Toyota up on the strength of things like Highlander, Tacoma, Tundra. Camry was down a bit, but still a big number. Honda up, things like Pilot helped them. Nissan was down, and we should note that they've shifted a strategy a little bit. They have been really aggressive in incentives and in fleets in the past to get to 10% market share. They seem to be backing away a bit of that. For them, Frontier, Rogue, Armada had really good months. On the incentive side, we're seeing a lot more of the same. This year we've seen a lot of competitive, you know, thinking that the pie wasn't going to be bigger than last year. Everybody's either trying to hold on to their loyal customers or conquest their competitors. So we're seeing a lot of loyalty incentives and conquest incentives. And, of course, this was a big auto show season, so there were a lot of extra auto show dollars. And the biggest dollar amounts on the hood were mostly dealer cash on luxury cars. The Mercedes-Benz S-Class took the cake with biggest dollar amount at $45,000, but also some big numbers on the Lincoln Continental and some Cadillacs. I talked to a few reporters, maybe some of you on the phone yesterday, about the rollback of by EPA of fuel economy standards. And I emphasized over and over that the big issue with the alternative fuel vehicles like EVs and hybrids is we've got to figure out a way to generate consumer demand. And that is a segment that continues to have the biggest incentives as well as tax breaks, and it's just not moving the needle. The biggest one there was $9,500 on the BMW i3. And we did see some incentives on some SUVs, luxury SUVs in particular. Buick noted that it had a record month for Envision. Well, there was $9,000 of customer cash on there. And as Charlie noted, the fleet sales did edge up for some automakers. With that, let's open it up for questions.
Thank you, ma'am. If you have a question at this time, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, you may press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. And if you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up on your handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star one on your touchtone phone. I do have three questions in the queue so far, and the first one comes from Nathan Bomey from USA Today. Your line is open.
Hi, Nathan.
Hey guys, you said that you kind of answered my question on incentives, so I'll ask about Tesla instead. Obviously, this morning reporting their figures for the first quarter, and how much should we be? I mean, like, if you're a Tesla fan, I mean, how much should you be concerned about the company at this point? Are they facing serious hurdles, or is this just sort of a temporary blip, and we should expect them to be on track later this year?
Oh, I think Tesla faces a significant challenge. You know, it's struggled to get production up. It's had a lot of issues of late, the fatal crash with the autopilot. And it's been a serious cash burn for quite some time. I wouldn't be surprised if they go to the, you know, they are able to acquire more cash. They've been able to do that all along, but they face formidable challenges here. And, you know, there's going to be more vehicles on the market, and it's a segment that's not huge. So they're challenged.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, the next question in the queue comes from Nick Zolovich from Auto Remarketing.
Good morning, and thank you so much for the time, as always. I just wanted to get each of your reactions to a decision that GM has made that they are going to switch from reporting U.S. sales on a monthly basis to a quarterly basis. Just wanted to get each of you a chance to react to GM's decision, what kind of ripple effect that might have through the industry, and just how much better or worse might the data be in terms of sales if it's shared on a quarterly basis versus the monthly cadence that's been in place for some time.
Yeah, well, I think for GM, they feel like this is going to be a time saver for them. They won't be scrambling so much to get the news out at the start of each month, and they feel that, you know, maybe they're chasing a little too much of monthly volatility, which might be out of their control, and haven't been able to focus enough on sort of bigger picture stories that they might be able to focus on a quarterly basis. So I think that's kind of the general idea. Our expectation is that other companies will likely follow. We don't know how many, but it wouldn't be surprising to see a couple other big OEMs also decide to move to a quarterly reporting basis. I think the danger for the industry, or where there's risks, one for the companies themselves, they probably will have less control over the narrative of what's going on each month. If their sales were up or down, it's going to kind of be up to whatever analysts happen to say they are, or what you reporters decide that they're going to be, since we won't know the facts themselves. So I think there is some risk to that. And also, what replaces that information source? Is the industry able to find a viable replacement for GM reporting those numbers themselves? Certainly we all want to know what's happening in the industry on a real-time basis, because we know that the auto industry is an important component for Wall Street in terms of monitoring the overall health of the economy, and I think people are going to want to know, have some kind of a measurement as to how sales are progressing. So at this point, we're still reacting ourselves as to what Cox Automotive is going to do, but we plan to continue to provide information on a monthly basis.
I don't know if I have much to add. You know, I do think, you know, I was around during the, you know, lead up to the recession, and, you know, auto sales were a bellwether of the economy going south, and, you know, we might not get at least a public read on that without seeing monthly sales. But, you know, I understand why GM's doing it. Other industries do it. Our boss worked in the real estate industry. They switched over. Other retailers, Walmart, Target, don't do monthly sales. So I get it on that and that respect. And indeed, if you look at, you know, the first quarter, for example, January, February are really low months. March is a really high month. So quarterly does kind of even those things out. And there's a lot of nuance that I think is often lost. Things like, you know, that we try to provide here, you know, what are inventory levels? Are they low? Are they high? How does that affect sales? Things like incentives. So there are a lot of nuance that doesn't always get reported.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your perspectives. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay. And we do have one more question in the queue, and it is coming from Kaylee Hall from Vindicator. Your line is open.
Hey guys, I actually just had the same exact question that he did. Hi. So my question has already been answered. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. We have no further questions in the queue at this time, ma'am.